You know, in this troubled world that we live in today, well, it would seem that the answers to life's most serious and agonizing problems are coming at us left and right like clouds of thunder. Right? Oh, yeah. The message I bring you today, I've given the title of No Other Way. No other way than the way of the cross. Have you given that any thought? Well, let's have a word of prayer and then we'll get into the message and see what it's all about. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity you've given me to voice this message. I pray, Father, that ears would be unstopped, hearts would be ready to hear, Lord. And Lord God, blessings would flow. And Lord, when all is said and done, I pray, Lord, that precious lives will have given themselves over to thee. For I ask in Jesus' name, for his sake. Amen. Amen. Now, you remember the old adage, every cloud has a silver lining. Every cloud has a silver lining. I've heard that so many times in my growing up years, and you know what? It's true. Well, it may be true for some of us, but there are those, I'm afraid, that can't even imagine that silver lining. But, you know, then there are those who live in the, what you might call the wonderful world of Disney. But even that has taken its turn that God will not bless. God will not bless. Yes, God made everything that is natural upon the face of the earth. Look around. He made the trees and the grass and the rivers, the hills and the valleys. God almost made the elements that, well, some days seem to betray us. Isn't that true? Like the rain. Well, where would the rain come without God? Especially if we're planning a picnic. Then you don't call the rain a blessing, do you? Or the ravaging storms that literally tear apart the soil beneath our feet and turn the oceans inside out. And what about the hurricanes and the tornadoes and the floods of every dimension? We don't always like to see these, do we? Some of us never. But you know, God has a reason for everything. We don't always understand immediately, but he does. God's greatness is seen. His greatness, it's seen in the wind. And his kindness in the early morning sunrise. When I was a child and wandered off into the bush by the seashore, I didn't even know God. I heard the name, of course, but I didn't really know anything about God. Being a little fella in a world where God wasn't mentioned except in a blasphemous way. Yet I can still recall the warm sun on my face as it peaked above the horizon of a new day. And when winter came, oh, how that icy wind numbed my cheeks. And as my dad held firm the rudder of our small fishing boat, as it cut into the foamy currents off the Northumberland Strait, down Nova Scotia way. You know, memories, well, they're all wonderful in a way, even if they're not as great as you'd like them to be, but just as wonderful as they are for many of us, it's just like everything else in life. There are usually two sides. Two sides. the good side, filled with joy and peace and adventure, and the bad side, where there's much pain and sorrow. Oh, yes. Nevertheless, when God made us in our mama's womb, he may have smiled because it was a happy occasion. And that's his right. No matter what we looked like when we were born, God was at the helm, so to speak. You know, it's been said many times. Now, why didn't God make us to always be happy and never sick, never sad, to love and to never hate, to be strong and never be weak? Why? Why did he just put us out there like the animals and let us fend for ourselves? Have you ever thought about it? God made us for his pleasure, and he loved to watch us maneuver about in life. Now, don't get me wrong. God is not a sadist where he says, go out there now and you do all the things you like to do. I'm not saying that. I'm saying he loved to watch his creation in action, so to speak. Perhaps the understanding is there all around us, but we just don't see it. But if we look carefully at the simple things in life that we take for granted, like the flowers, how beautiful they are. But they too must die and be reborn. That's what happens every spring, isn't it? The sun, which heats the day, cometh up and goeth down. Everything in its time. God made all that is made, and he called it blessed and good. There's one thing we must understand above all. Actually, there are two things. When God made the heavens and the earth, he called it good and sealed its destiny. Sealed it. But when God made man in his own image, he put within us. Now, this is women too now. Don't go way up from here. When God made us in his own image, he put within us something that everything he ever made before never had. You know what it is? It's a little thing called free will. Free will. So we could hardly call ourselves a prisoner, right? We have free will. We can do as we will. He could have made us like plants, the trees, the grass. But no, when God made man and woman, he made them in his own image, that they should want to be loved, want to be needed. But there was one condition. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Keep my commandments. Hear me. Oh, please hear what I say. There is only one God, one. And he is all righteous. He is all holy. And when he made us, because he loved us, he set us before his plan. As long as we put him first, he would always be there for us. As long as we put him first. Now, you can't put God on a back burner. You can't put God out of your life and expect your life to be just the way God would want it to be, because he's not there for you. But keep this in mind, too. God is also a jealous God. And because he loves us, he set forth a plan, a very simple plan, easy to understand. I can almost hear his voice now echoing in my ears, thou shalt have no other gods before me. None. Now that we believe, we understand who God really is and why he does what he does. Let us talk about in his company. In his company. The only barrier between God and man or woman is what? Sin. Ugly old sin. So naturally, well, we want to know who has sinned, right? Who has sinned? Well, God's word tells us in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned. All. Not just some. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Who? Who? Now, if you deny you have sinned, then guess what? You make God a liar. And the truth is not in you. It's not in you at all. Secondly, what is the penalty for sin? Do you know that? Well, very simply put in God's word, death. Death is the penalty. Death in the lake of fire. I don't mean just going out of existence, because none of us go out of existence, only from the earth in an earthly manner. But when we die, we either go to heaven to be in the presence of God, or we go to hell to suffer eternally in the presence of that old devil. The Bible tells us in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Death. The wages of sin is death. Now, some people want to know, is there truly a hell? Is there a hell? Well, God says there is in Matthew 25. And here's a quote. Read from Matthew 25, 41 and 46. Then shall he say to them on the left hand, these are the ones that didn't believe, didn't repent, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. You see, hell wasn't made for us. No. None of us are meant to go to hell. That's our choice when we deny what happened at Calvary, when we deny what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross at Calvary. Then that's our choice. God gave us that free choice. And in verse 46 we read, and these that go into everlasting fire, that is, shall go away into this everlasting punishment. But the righteous, those who believe, trust, and obey, as the saying goes, but those who repent and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, we go into life eternal. That's with God in glory. Right? That's not too hard to understand, is it? Now, who exactly will go to hell? You're wondering probably, hey, well, I'm not so bad a person, but if you don't believe in God, doesn't matter if you're not a bad person or not. If you don't believe in what happened at Calvary, if you didn't accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're going to hell. It's as simple as that. God couldn't make it any simpler. Revelation 20, verse 15, and 21, verse 8. Listen carefully. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire, the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. Wow. Which is the second death. You see, you die once upon the earth, and then you die again in hell. But the body keeps on living and suffering, just like it does in heaven. See, we get our new bodies when we go to heaven. But when you go to hell, you just continue to suffer and burn and yell and scream and be so remorseful that you didn't believe. And you cry out even to God, but he will not hear you. It's too late. It's too late. Now, what did Jesus What did the Lord Jesus do so that I could miss hell? So that I could miss hell? Well, the Bible tells us that Jesus was wounded for our transgressions. That's our sins. He was bruised for our iniquities. That's our sins. Smitten of God and afflicted. Now the good news is, here it comes. With his stripes we are healed. We're talking about his suffering on the cross. You know, the stripes that we're referring to here are those stripes of the whips, the lashes, the cross, the cruelty. That's our chance. That's what we must believe in our heart, that he went there, not for anything that he did wrong. No, he did no wrong. He was perfect. But for what he did to redeem us from our filthy sins. Now, how do we get to heaven? Well, I pretty much told you, but let's go a little deeper. Jesus said, pay attention now, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. What could be simpler? What could be easier to understand? Are there other ways to heaven, you may ask? Are there other ways to heaven? Some people seem to think there is. Some even think there's a shortcut. And all sorts of other ways. Well, the Word of God tells us, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Nothing could be clearer. Right? Of course not. No other way. Now, can you earn your way to heaven? Can you? Some people think so. The Word of God is very clear on that subject. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. See, you can't boast of who you are, how good you are, or your achievements in life. That's not going to get you to heaven. No. Only if ye repent and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, you can do good deeds till the proverbial cows come home. And without believing the gospel, all your deeds, guess what? They're nothing but wood, hay, and stubble. Now, God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Folks, there is no other way. There just ain't no other way. You know, you can cover a lot of ground here in when you're talking about heaven and hell. There's so many things, you know, that a lot of us don't seem to understand. But heaven and hell, well, they're real places. They're real places. And if you don't believe in that, well, you're going to find out the hard way. You see, it's okay if you don't believe in hell, but it's not okay if you don't believe in heaven. Because if you don't believe in heaven, then one day you will believe in hell. You got the picture? There are only two places you will go, and I'm talking about beyond the grave when you pass on. Your body goes to the grave. Now, okay, let's just separate this for a second here. If you're a Christian, if you believe in the cross of Jesus Christ, if you've repented and believed, then when you die, then your body goes to the grave. your spirit goes to heaven. Got that? All right. Now, if the Lord comes in the rapture, which he will, before you die, what happens then is that the archangel gives the call, come up hither. He's calling you up if you're a believer. And on your way up, your body, which is filled with sin and degradation anyway, will be changed, because you can't appear in his presence filled with sin and that old flesh. So the flesh is changed like unto his glorious body. But the wicked, those who did not believe, they go to hell. And there they will suffer eternally in the fires of hell. And there's no escape. You can't go to hell and then when you get there say, oh, no, oh, forgive me, Lord. I'm sorry. Get me out of here. It won't happen. It can't happen. Now is the time to make that decision. Why? Because tomorrow is promised to no one. Tomorrow is promised to no one. Are we still both, all of us, are we on the same playing field right now? Do we understand just exactly what's going on here? You see, now let me simplify it even more. Let me use myself as an example, because I'm a believer. I know what the end result's going to be if I were to die today or tomorrow or whatever. I know that my body would go to the grave, my spirit would go up to glory. But when God returns, then my body will be lifted out of the grave and changed like, as I mentioned earlier, like his body. Like onto his body. That means it will be completely cleansed of sin. There'll be no sin, because sin can't enter into glory. That's not so hard to understand, but it is hard to believe for some people, isn't it? So a lot of people have said, well, what are we going to do in heaven for all eternity? Look at each other? Plant flowers? Well, you know, it's not clear in the scriptures. All we know is that we'll be at peace, that we will serve our Almighty God. And I've heard people say, well, I'd rather, you know, reign in hell than serve in heaven. Would you? Well, with that kind of attitude, you know, all you got to do is wait until you die and you'll see. You'll regret it. You'll regret it. Guaranteed. But if you believe, if you repent and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, look, when you close your eyes in this life, you will open them immediately. Even before you get to the graveyard, you open your eyes immediately in the presence of God, Almighty God. Wow, I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to it. I haven't been feeling all that great lately, you know. I'm getting a little up in years, but, you know, I think the closer I get to that end time, the more I understand. You see, we have the Bible. We have the book that God prepared for us called, you know, we call it the book of life, okay? For us, it's a book of life. It's a matter of life and death. Life in Christ or death in hell. Now, God isn't going to hammer us over the head and say, listen, you get over here right now or else I'm going to give you a whatever. No, he invites us. You know, when Jesus was in the garden the night before he was crucified, he talked to his Father. While his apostles slept, he went a distance off from them, and he talked to his Father. And he said, Father, if it be possible, talking about the cup, or talking about the cross now, the next morning, he said, if it be possible, take this cup from me. Oh, he was in torments. But then he added something that made all the difference to usward. He said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Not my will, but thine be done." And it was God's will, God the Father, that his Son would have to make that sacrifice on the cross at Calvary to eradicate us who trust and believe from all the sins so we could enter into his heavenly presence. He took upon us, he who had no sin, took upon us all our sins. Nothing is going to happen except you'll go to hell if you don't believe that. Do you understand? Now, in churches today, a lot of people go to church today, especially the big mega churches, to be entertained. They like the light shows. They like the music, which is getting kind of raunchy and rock and rolly. They like all these things. They like the messages kept short. And shorter, the gospel is seldom preached in a lot of these mega churches today. And people leave saying, "Oh, I feel refreshed. You know, it's good to know God. It's good to be a child of the King." When in essence, they may not be a child of the King at all. Do you get the message? Do you understand? How do you know you're saved? Well, the Bible tells us to examine ourselves, to know we are in the faith. How do you examine yourselves? Well, what do you like to do now that you've given your life over to Christ? Do you like the old ways you were living? Going out with the guys or the girls and having a night on the town, watching movies that God would not approve of, cussing and swearing? Living it up as the world before you give your life over to Christ? That's not salvation. That's damnation. I beg of you, if you haven't given your life to Christ today, do so before the next day comes around. Because then it may be too late. We do not know when Christ will return. I want to thank you for listening to this message today, and I pray that it's touched your heart in some way. If there are any questions, I'd ask that you would contact me through my website, tillhecomes.net, Battle Site for Christ, and I'll be glad to answer any questions you have. Thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.